All right. If you would turn to Jeremiah 31, we're going to conclude. We're going to continue. Whether we conclude or not, I don't know. But we're going to continue on the thought that I had last week regarding a day. A day. And so in Jeremiah 31, we see something here that God gave to Jeremiah in chapter 31. Look in verse 31. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I'll make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I'll put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I'll remember their sin no more. The new covenant is concerning Israel. It's not concerning us. And this promise made to Jeremiah has not been fulfilled yet. It's yet to come. And so the thing about the day of the new covenant, you know, there's a day coming, is the end of verse 34, in that I will forgive their iniquity and I'll remember their sin no more. Now, before we get started, I've got $100 I want to bet. All you have to do is put up 10 bucks. That's a good deal. You just put up $10, and if you win, you win the 100. If we have multiple winners, you still win the 100. All you have to do is put up 10 bucks. You just have to win. Do I have any takers? There should be a line up here, because it's like, no, I might lose. It's just $10.
Well, I ain't saying 100 yet.
Donald walks by sight, not by faith. I got it right here, brother. Smell it. I got $100. All you got to do is put up 10 bucks for a chance for $100. I mean, look, if you lose, you can conclude it like this. It went as like a tip to my preacher, so it's good.
I got 10 bucks. That was like good talk sale.
So I have no takers, huh? Okay, yeah, you do. She'll contribute. She'll contribute. Okay, well, we'll see at the end of the song and dance how you would have lost your money. I remember when I was first saved, right after Louise and I got married, we went down to Disney for our honeymoon. Ta-da. And so we're coming back and we go through Mobile and I done forgot his name. The preacher that was there, he's passed away, kind of a tall, slender guy. Do you recall him? Anyhow, he had a church there and Brother Moore.
Roy Langley.
Roy Langley, yeah. So we're coming back and we're stopping off in Mobile, right? And so, because Brother Moore was preaching at his church, so we stopped there, and we go to the service, and Louise and I sit next to Miss Bernice. This was a long time ago, by the way. So we're sitting there, and Brother Moore is preaching. He's preaching on the middle wall of petition, and he opens his wallet and pulls out a $50 bill. And $50 in 82 was a lot of money. I mean, I'm telling you. And so he says, I will bet anybody in here $50 if you could find, and he laid it out. I'm like, man, 50 bucks. I'm thinking, I got to get in this preaching thing. Yeah, right, yeah, you laugh too, right? You're laughing at me, not with me. So anyhow, I leaned off and said, Miss Bernice, he's betting $50. She goes, don't worry, he wouldn't bet unless he knew he could win. So that's what I did. I bet and I know I can win. That's it. So anyhow, so we got Jeremiah 31. We're talking about a day. It has to do with the Lord forgiving their iniquity and remembering their sin no more. Now kind of hold that in the back burner of your mind. So with that said, turn over to Luke 24. This Bible is about time. And you've got to get the ministry and the ministers right with the right time to the right people in the right place. If you don't, you're going to have confusion. So consequently, in Luke 24, some of this we discussed, but we're going to cover some other things now and press on. But in Luke 24, verse 45, we're just going to start right here. Then open he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and arise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So we'll go on the board here, and we have the start of the ministry of Christ to his death, his burial, then he rose up, he met with the disciples for 40 days. What we just read there in Luke 24 is taking place right here in this 40-day period when he met with them. And then after he met with them, he ascended up and went up into the heavens. So he ascended out of their sight. But notice what they are to preach. In verse 46, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. The question is, did that happen? Well, look in Acts and turn over to Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, the Lord has ascended, so you're beginning a time here in Acts 2. The Lord's ascended, he's up in the heavens at this point in time. What are we looking for? We're looking for a day. In Acts chapter 2, Peter is preaching here, basically saying that, you men of Israel, you have killed the Lord. You've killed the Holy One that God has sent unto you. And so they're under conviction about that truth that he preached to them. And he preached to them that he was raised up and that he's alive today. And so in verse 37, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So then I know that they're commanded, just as it was back here in Luke 20, or here rather, recorded in Luke 24, that baptism, repentance of sins, repentance and remission of sins should be preached in the Lord's name. Well, over in Acts 2:38, that's exactly what Peter is doing. That is what Peter is preaching. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Now, remission. You've got to understand the word remission. If you don't, you're going to be fouled up. You've got to know the meaning of words. Remission has to do with forgiveness, but it's kind of a conditional thing. It's used, for instance, if you're out in the yard and you're working in the yard on a summer day and the heat is just getting to you, you go in under a shade tree to cool down. In true vernacular, you have remission from the heat. By me applying that, that works perfectly in true language. You have remission from the heat. Does that mean the heat is gone? No. You just have a temporary abatement from that heat. Remission of sin is like that. Just like remission of sin is like in relationship to treatment of cancer. If you have cancer, they may go in and surgically remove a tumor, give you treatment, and then they do tests, and you don't see cancer. Well, they don't say it's not in you. What do they say? It's in remission. Why? Because at any moment, any given time, this stuff can come back. So they use the word remission. By the way, you know how you get rid of cancer and never get it? You die. You'll never get it if you die. Say, what does that have to do with anything? Hopefully I can remember that at the end of the message. That's the hard part. And you go, what was the deal with cancer? I forgot to do it. I'm hanging in there, guys. So you see, remission, it implies forgiveness, but it's an abatement type of forgiveness. It's conditional, so to speak. So they had remission of sins. Now, why remission? Good question. I'm glad you asked it. Look in chapter 3. Peter continues preaching over in chapter 3. In chapter 3, verse, I guess we'll start in 18. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he has so fulfilled. Repent you therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive, until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. So when Peter is preaching in Acts chapter 3, verses 19, 20, 21, what we just read, is Jesus Christ there? Is Jesus Christ present with the disciples? Is Jesus Christ on this earth? What about the other 90%? Where you stand on that? Where's Jesus Christ? He's in the heavens. So Peter is preaching that he is going to return. What happens when he returns? Verse 19. Repent you therefore, be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the what?
Presence.
Presence of the Lord. Well, he's not present there, so is their sins blotted out?
No.
But their sins are in remission. They're held in abatement. Can the sins pop up and get them? Can the sins find them to be condemned? You better believe it. But here's a point. He's talking about the return of the Lord. And when he returns, their sins will be blotted out. Matter of fact, you can match up what Acts 3:19 has back there to Jeremiah 31:31, which we read earlier. He'll forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. And that matches up. And that's what Peter is preaching about, is that coming of the Lord and that day, a day when he arrives, the sins will be blotted out. But until that time, there's remission. So let's see how this works. If you would, look over in, where do I want to go? Matthew 24. Look in Matthew chapter 24. Now hang with me, guys. I know this is study-ish in nature, but it's going to conclude in a beautiful thing. Well, I'm going to try to make it conclude that way anyway. Matthew 24, this is the Lord. He's with the disciples here. This is before he's been crucified. They're meeting with him. They're curious about the end times, the end of the world here. So they start asking him about the signs. So he starts telling them the signs that are to come. Now watch this. Tell me if you want to follow Jesus in this. Verse 8. And all these are the beginning of sorrows. And you'd have to read the previous verse to get the, wow, that looks like a lot of fun message. Then verse 9. Then they shall deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Now verse 9 again. They shall deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. You think that church didn't have a rough go of it? Look at what they're looking at. They're going to be hated, afflicted, and killed. That's not a bright prospect, is it? Did that take place? Whole Matthew 24, we're coming back to it. Go to Acts chapter 8. In Acts chapter 8, it says in verse 1, and Saul, who later became Paul, and Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time, there was great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and howling men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. So you see who headed this up, right? It's Saul, the great persecutor. And he had just, chapter 8 comes in right after, they had just killed Stephen for his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Saul was going after all the Christians at that time and having them put to jail and put to death. Now, with that said, go back to Matthew 24. The Lord knew exactly what he was telling them, for we see it came to pass. In verse 9, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Now go down to verse 13. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Well, what is the enduring unto the end? Is it enduring your boss at the office because you don't get along with him? Is it enduring this traffic and rush hour? Is it enduring LSU? Get an amen or a hallelujah on that one, but no. Yeah, roll tide, there you go. What is the enduring? It's the persecution. It's them being killed for my name's sake. So he said, if you endure that, you'll be saved. Flip the verse around. If they don't endure that, what? The sin of blasphemy has them condemned. They deny the Lord. And there is no more sacrifice after that. So then, sins are in remission. They're abated as they go through persecution, and if they can make it through the persecution, which means dying, being killed for your faith, then they shall be saved. They die like Stephen, put to death. Guess what happens? The Lord returns, Stephen comes up. He's resurrected into that kingdom. Those that died in faith have a hope of being born again into the kingdom. Those that denied the Lord through great persecution, they couldn't take it, they caved, they denied the Lord, they die, they go down to hell. Sin could get them. Why? It was in remission. Those that kept the faith, their sin will be blotted out when the Lord returns. So then, they're looking for this day. It's a day of atonement. It's a day of the Lord. It's a day that they'll have their sins forgiven when the Lord returns. And folks, that day has not happened. It hasn't taken place. Furthermore, something that puzzles a lot of people that visit our church, turn to Matthew 26. Matthew 26. Commonly known as the Lord's Supper. It's simply the Passover meal established back there in the law unto Moses. The Lord's Supper here in Matthew 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it. And break it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them saying, drink ye all of it. For this is the blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the forgiveness of sins. But I say unto you, what?
Remission.
Huh?
Remission.
Where are you?
28.
For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the forgiveness of sins.
Remission.
Oh, remission! Oh, why do y'all use that King James Bible? Because it's the Word of God. It's remission of sins, right? Remission. Sins are held in abeyance. So the blood of Jesus Christ for this early church here, under Peter and the rest of the apostles, the blood was good for remission of sins, meaning they're temporarily abated until the Lord returns where He will forgive their sins. But they have to go through the persecution to get into that kingdom. Take up your cross. It's not a little quip saying, it's going to your death for my name's sake. And so we see that the Lord's Supper, when people come in, they go, y'all don't do the Lord's Supper? No! We don't do the Lord's Supper. Well, why not? Because we don't have remission of sins. Our sins are not remitted. Our sins are forgiven. Why would I do some ordinance that will temporarily, as a sign, show I have remission of sins? We don't have remission of sins. We have forgiveness, and that's what we'll get into in a short. Not only that, look in Luke chapter 21. Look in Luke 21. When Israel goes through this trouble, they're going to go through great distress. The time of Jacob's trouble, what we call the tribulation. It hasn't happened yet, but they were going into it. They didn't, and I'll show you why they didn't shortly. But they were going into this time of Jacob's trouble. And so look what the Lord says in verse 25. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars. and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts fell in them for fear. That's, talk about scared to death, that's literal. And for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. In other words, when you see all this, the Son of Man will be returning and your redemption draweth nigh. Well, redemption has to do with like a buyback. For instance, if I needed quick cash and I owned a widget. I don't know what the widget is. Let's just use widget. And I take it to the hawk shop. I get $100 for this widget. So I go hawk it. And I got $100. I go spend my money because I had to pay a bill or something. I go work. I get $100 back to me. I can, if I want my widget, I can go and buy my widget back. I have redemptive money in my hand to get my widget back. Well, the Lord has a nation to whom He wants to get back unto Himself. So consequently, Jesus Christ shed His blood to redeem them back. In other words, to get them back took blood. But folks, there's going to be a day when that redemption takes place. There's a day. When is it? It's when the Lord returns. Lift up your eyes. The day of redemption is coming at that point in time. It draweth nigh. So then, when they are redeemed, it's going to take place at the coming of the Lord. When the Lord comes, many things are taking place at that time. For Israel, sins are forgiven. Iniquity blotted out. They'll not have to teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother know the Lord. That's what Peter was preaching in Acts 2. They didn't know who Jesus Christ was. But when He returns, He's going to plant it in their mind, in their heart, in their inward parts. They're going to all know Me from the greatest to the least. And their sins will be blotted out. Their iniquities, He'll remember them no more. And they'll go into that kingdom and He'll establish the kingdom that God has tried to establish all the way back to Moses and the children of Israel, and it will be established. However, there's a little space of approximately 2,000 years right here. So what is God doing today? I mean, you don't have any apostles. Are we repenting and getting baptized for remission of sins? Are we looking for this appearing? No, there's something called a dispensation. In other words, Israel rejected John the messenger, had his head cut off. The Lord, the King of the kingdom, comes, they crucify Him. The Lord raises up 12 men. Well, one of them was lost, and they replaced him with Matthias. Then they have the 12 men. They began preaching along with other disciples like Stephen. What happened to him in Acts 7? They killed him. They would have killed Peter, but the Lord released him out of prison. They began killing the disciples. Great persecution was on them. Who brought the great persecution, by the way? Was it Rome or was it the Jews? The Jews. Who is God setting this kingdom up for? Well, you can't set that kingdom up if they're rejecting the one that is a king being preached by your apostles back here. If they're killing them, you can't set it up. So what happened? God had in His mind before the foundation of the world a time called the dispensation of grace that He stuck in here. It was a mystery. It's not in your Bible till Paul preached about it. And it's got the greatest gospel you will ever hear, ever was preached, or ever shall be preached. And we'll see why that is. Turn to Titus chapter 2. Look in Titus chapter 2. In Titus chapter 2, verse 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. These things speak. speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. In verse 13, looking for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Jesus Christ said, when you see all these things happen, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh, and the Son of Man shall be descending in a cloud. Well, there's an appearing. Lift your heads up. What Paul's talking about is another appearing that never shows up in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's the appearing where the Lord, who's in heaven, is going to come down into the clouds, and that's it. His feet won't touch the earth. Over here, he comes, boom, right to the Mount of Olives, and he lands on the earth. This appearing, he appears in the clouds. This beautiful dispensation that we have, the dispensation of grace, culminates in a resurrection where we go up, meet the Lord in the air, and off we go with Him, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's our hope, folks. That's our hope. And so what did He do? He redeemed us. We don't have a redemption day coming forward to us. We've been redeemed. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Look in Ephesians chapter 1. That didn't rock your boat. Let's see if this does. In Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians 1, verse 6, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the beloved. You were made accepted in the beloved. We're not making ourselves acceptable to God. Why? We can't do it. In Christ, we are made accepted to God Almighty. Verse 7, in whom, Jesus Christ, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Let me ask you something. According to verse 7, do we have redemption through His blood?
Yes.
Do we have it?
Yes.
We're not looking for it, are we?
No.
They're looking for redemption. Lift your head up when you see all these things. Your redemption draweth nigh. In this dispensation, you trust in Christ that He died for your sins, was buried and raised again. That's the good news. You trust in Christ and you have redemption right there. In other words, God is applying the blood of Jesus Christ to everyone that will trust in Him right here, right now. We're not waiting for a day. We're not looking for this appearing. It's not for us. It's a day of your salvation. It's a day that you determine that you're lost, you have no hope. If you die, you go to hell. And at that moment, you come through great conviction that you need to trust the Lord Jesus Christ so that you can be saved. And when you put your trust in the fact that He loved you, He gave Himself for you, He was buried and raised again, you have redemption at that moment. You're not looking forward to a redemptive day. You have redemption right there. Not only that, the scripture there, verse 7, is broken in two. Let's count the other half. The forgiveness of sins. You trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you have forgiveness of sins?
Yes.
Right here, right now, right?
Yes.
Exactly. We have forgiveness of sins. Did these have forgiveness of sins? They had remission. When are they looking for their sins to be forgiven, blotted out? When the Lord returns. Until then, they've got to hang in there, brother. They got to hang in there and endure the persecution. We trust in the Lord. It's a done, finished deal. Turn to Colossians. Turn to Colossians and look in Colossians chapter 1. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. And that meet there, it's interesting. It has to do with like to enable or qualify. We qualify to be partakers of the inheritance in light. Verse 13, who had delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. I could corrupt this thing and go, in whom we will have redemption through His blood in hopes of forgiveness of sins. What I did is I took the thought of this doctrine here, and I read Colossians chapter 1, whatever that verse is, verse 14, and stuck this teaching, this doctrine, in Colossians 1:14. And it muddies and corrupts the Word of God tremendously. Let it say what it says, and then just believe it. In whom we have redemption. We've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ and forgiveness of sins. How many of your sins were forgiven here? Look in chapter 2, verse 13. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Here, endure. You don't endure, you're not going to be saved. Here, trust in the Lord. You have redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of all sins, even if you turn from the Lord. Well, if I preach that way, then people would go out and do whatever they want to do. Well, Mr. Preacher, I got news for you. When y'all close in amen and your congregation leaves, they're going out and doing whatever they want to do. I know. I see them out there. I talk to them. Oh, you go to that church? Really? Y'all teach that you don't have eternal security. Well, yeah, we teach that, but you know the Lord is forgiven. What are you talking out of both sides of your mouth? Oh, you want the forgiveness because you know the type of sinner you are. And why point a finger at the church on Stanley Auburn for preaching the truth about your sins being forgiven? All sins being forgiven. Because your preacher is corrupting the Word of God. And they join on the preacher's side. Don't ever support a preacher that's going to corrupt the Word of God, man. Don't do it. I don't care how much he's your friend. I don't care how cool he is. I don't care if he can sing like a bird. Don't support him. He's rotten to the core. You get this ministry crossed here, you'll never get the purity of Paul's teaching. You'll never get it. You have people repenting every Sunday. Why are they repenting every Sunday? They're repenting because they don't know the surety of their salvation, which only comes through the ministry of the Apostle Paul. You look at the scriptures we read, for crying out loud, his blood is for redemption. We have that now. His blood is for forgiveness of all sins. We have that now. What's left out? Nothing. Nothing. Matter of fact, the Bible says when we trust in Christ, we by the Spirit were baptized into his death. What happened to us?
We died.
We died. We died in Christ. You're going to be amazed, but I remember what I said earlier. You remember the cancer? You know how you get rid of it?
You die.
You die. Folks, sin can't come up and get you. Why? You died in Christ. You're a dead person. Does that mean we go out and live our own lives? No, we should live with some conviction. Are we sinners? Yeah. Are we going to have faults in our lives? Absolutely. Absolutely. But folks, don't have a fault about your position and your security in Christ Jesus. It's a shame when I watch these broadcasts and I watch the altar call at the end where these people are coming down and crying their eyes out and weeping in their heart and complaining, "Oh Lord, I'm sorry, I left you and I just have been a sinner all week." And God's like, "Son, you see this stuff? Man, this is a show. I mean, this is a joke. What is going on down there?" "Well, Father, it's the guy that's preaching. He's corrupting your word." Sunday. Last Sunday. Click, click, click. Fortunately, all my God channels are together on satellite TV. So I'm scrolling through the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost channels, and I fall on this guy. I don't know if you ever heard of him. His name is Joel Osteen. Well, good. I'm in good company. I just want you to know, as I was watching him, he was concluding his broadcast. And he said, "I want all you out there in watching this broadcast, if you would just say this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I come before you and I confess my sins. I invite you into my heart." Now, if you've done that, we believe you're born again. Bump. He closed and sold stuff after that.
Yep.
Seriously? Seriously? You know how many thousands of... That's him calling now, huh? I'm going to get that preacher at Grace Believers Bible Church. You really? And I see posts on Facebook. Joel Osteen said this. No, I'm not going to go there, but put no stock in the man. If you like him, you're being deceived. That wasn't the gospel he presented. That's another gospel. That's something that couldn't save anybody anywhere at any time. It sounds good. It sounds pretty. Oh, confess that you're a sinner. Well, duh. Who's not? Invite Jesus into your heart. Written or oral. Apparently oral will work. And that does it. You're born again. Come on, folks. Man, this world is so fouled up. Stand for this beautiful truth in the scriptures of the Apostle Paul of what God has done to us, in us, and through us in Christ Jesus. We are new creatures. 6 days of creation. Nobody talks about the seventh day creation. There's a creation of believers here in that we became new creatures in Christ Jesus. And folks, there's a reason why Paul told the Philippians, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, that you are equal with God Almighty. You're equal with Him by being in Christ Jesus. You have become part of the Godhead. If Christ can't lose His salvation, neither can you. The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are His. Does He know you? Have you trusted in Christ? You can know it right here, right now. And guess what, folks? This will be your day of salvation. Trust in the Lord. Let's stand and we'll close in prayer. Lord, we thank You for this time and opportunity and the blessed, glorious gospel of God, which can bring the lost to You and have all sins forgiven, be reconciled to the death of Your Son. Give You thanks and praise for that. And I pray if there's anyone here or listening to this recording that's never trusted in Christ, that do so at this moment, that this would be their day of salvation. For the rest of us that have trusted, Lord, we give You thanks and praise and look for the blessed hope when we will be caught up and taken out of this world. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you.